Before we even think about sharing the good news, it's just good to have a reminder of what that good news is. And what a reminder we had this morning if you were with us. Alex preached from Isaiah 53, verses 1 to 6, answering the question, why did Jesus die? And it was such a rich answer, I'm not going to try and summarize it in just 3 minutes now. But I do think it's worth just sitting for a moment on one of the verses that we read. So let's turn in our pages to, in our Bibles, to Isaiah chapter 53. Page number 741. Isaiah 53, starting from verse 1. Who has believed our message? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. Like one from whom people hide their faces, he was despised, and we held him in low esteem. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. And by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Let's just dwell on that last verse for a couple of moments. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Two important words there. We all. Not some of us. Not especially the broken ones. Not just the people out there, not in this building right now. We all. Every person here in this room was once lost. I was once lost. Every person we work with, every person we live next to, every person we sit next to on the train, lost, just like we were. This isn't about insiders and outsiders. The difference is just people that have heard and responded to the good news and those who haven't. The same situation we all have or had in common. But there is an extraordinary turn at the end of verse 6. Yes, we were all like sheep going astray. We all went our own way. And yet, the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. That weight that all of us were carrying across our shoulders, pushing us down and down and down in suffering and despair and death and ultimately death forever, he took it. And that is the good news that we get to share. Not a self-improvement program, not a set of rules. The news, the wonderful good news that Jesus has taken that burden of sin and put it on his shoulders and carried it for us. Here's why this matters for this evening. Sometimes we might approach evangelism as if we've got something to sell or something to argue for or just kind of a political position to defend. That's not the case, because we all went astray. What we are is just one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. We found it, we didn't deserve to find it, and there are people all around us who are desperately, desperately hungry. The Lord Jesus has that answer. He is the good shepherd, the one who left the 99 to find the one. He loves them more than we ever could. His heart for the lost, his heart for the crowd, that heart of compassion has not changed one bit. And we might well be privileged to be part of the story of how one of those sheep is brought back home. And what a wonderful thing that is. I'm going to pray for Jackie, and then she's going to come up and tell us about some evangelism styles. Father God, thank you so much for Jackie. Thank you for what a blessing she is to our church family. Lord, we pray that you would speak through her now and that we would respond and that there would be fruit from what she shares with us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks, Jackie.
So doesn't that just really lift your heart when you hear what Andrew shared about what we've got to share, that God has just done so much for us and sending Jesus to die on the cross for our sins, and we've got such a wonderful message to share that should just burst out of us because we can't contain it. So first of all, I'm just going to do a recap on what we did last time, okay? So we all have conversations where we speak about someone or something we love or feel passionate about. So how much more so Jesus? To have a gospel conversation, we need to be really passionate about Jesus. And there are four elements to creating a gospel conversation. Seek the Holy Spirit's help throughout the conversation. Be genuinely interested in having a conversation. Look for your common ground and look for the opening that gives you the opportunity to share the gospel message. So I want to know how, show you how natural this can be. So just think about who or what you are really passionate about, okay? Would you have to manipulate the conversation to bring it in as you're chatting to someone? No, because it's important to you. So how much more so Jesus? The art of conversation, it is to connect with someone, whether it's a stranger, friend, or family. And this is exactly the same with a gospel conversation, except you're more interested in having that conversation because the Holy Spirit is involved in that conversation too. So here are some pointers to help facilitate a gospel conversation. Rely on the Holy Spirit. You're working with him. So ask the Holy Spirit to give you the words to say throughout the conversation. Make sure you're actively listening. We can tell if someone is listening but not engaged. Show you are actively listening to them. How can they believe the message that you're sharing if they can tell you're not genuinely interested in them? Chat in an open and friendly way. You may have to dig deeper if this isn't natural for you at first. Remember, the Holy Spirit is helping you. Find your common ground and allow the conversation to flow around it. Stay engaged. Comment on significant points every so often, because that shows them that you're actively listening. Don't overstay your welcome. Be alert to their subtle signs that they want out. If you push the conversation, you will create a barrier. Remember, the Holy Spirit is helping you in this conversation. He will show you where the opening is to share the gospel. If you have built a rapport, they will be interested in you too. So be prepared to answer their questions. So how to start sharing about Jesus? As you're listening to them, ask the Holy Spirit to help you remember what they are telling you and find your common ground and chat around it. When you see the opening, step in. Remember, you may be speaking to someone who has no idea of who Jesus is or what it means to be a Christian. Most people don't understand Christian jargon words. Be careful with your words. Many people struggle with the idea of having faith in someone that they can't see. However, everyone acts in faith without knowing it. For example, sitting on your chair tonight, did any of you check it was okay before you sat down? You didn't. You had complete faith that that chair would hold you. Some people would have had bad experience of religion or Christianity and may resist what you're saying. Don't try and defend Jesus. He is big enough to do that himself. If you do, you'll create a barrier between the two of you and you will miss the gospel opportunity. Rather, listen to them and show you care and understand, whilst praying silently, asking the Holy Spirit to speak through you. God loves them and understands their circumstances. So try and make the message personal to them by including something that they have told you within the gospel message. Remember, Jesus died for their sorrows as well as their sins. They need to know this, as many people carry their pain alone. Share Jesus with joy. Have a Bible or a devotional app on your phone that you can download quickly. Have a practiced personal testimony that is no longer than 3 minutes. Memorize simple scriptures. The Holy Spirit will also bring scriptures to your mind as you're talking. Have modern tracts with you. Not too wordy, but short modern tracts. And try to leave a form of contact with them. Now, we did have a survey last time we did this. I've got them over there if anyone would like to do that, hasn't done one. I'm just going to have a quick drink. Okay, so now we're going to look at some different styles of evangelism and how to create a gospel conversation within your style. Now, how we interact with others has an effect on them, whether it's for the positive or the negative. Think of someone having an uncontrollable laughing fit on the tube. Before long, others are joining in, and they've got no idea why they're laughing. As Christians, we can be just as infectious. We have the assurance of being forgiven and deeply loved by a Heavenly Father. How can we hold that joy of that salvation in? Surely we should be overflowing with joy in a way that others notice. But if we're honest, that's not always the case. Tonight I want us to look at ways of sharing our joy in a natural and comfortable way. Whilst we've all been fearfully and wonderfully made, we are all very different. We often explain our characteristics away as I'm an introvert or an extrovert, creative, academic, outspoken or shy, etc. But all of these characteristics are what makes us who we are. We may wish our natural character was different, but to portray ourselves in another way, but we can't change ourselves at the core. It's how we have been fearfully and wonderfully made by God. Remember, He has a plan for our lives that our personality will fit within. It's part of God's design. As true as this is for our natural makeup, it's the same for our spiritual makeup too. I'm not talking about giftings here, that's different. Some of us have giftings that take us way out of our comfort zone, and that's the power and the beauty of the Holy Spirit's work. He takes us out of ourselves and uses us for God's glory in a way that we could not do on our own. If we are naturally talkative, we will find creating a gospel conversation easier than someone who is naturally shy. But God knows that, and He will create gospel opportunities for us all. It's about leaning into who God has made us to be and trusting Him in it. Remember, this is a divine appointment. God knows your character trait as He created you, and He has brought this conversation about. So whereas a naturally talkative person will probably open up a conversation without a thought about how that conversation will continue, a shy person will probably rehearse it in their head and keep to something safe like the weather until they've really got confident with that before they look for the common ground for a gospel conversation. But God will use both ways, and neither way is better than the other. The important thing is be true to who God has created you to be. Don't try and copy someone else's approach, as it will hinder a genuine conversation, and you may lose the gospel opportunity that God has created for you. As well as there being different styles of evangelizing, which are unique to us all, we can also have our own unique way of effectively carrying out a gospel conversation that we are more comfortable with. For example, My evangelistic style is interpersonal, which is relational. But the way I naturally do it is through trending evangelism. So trending evangelism uses the events of the day as a springboard into the gospel. So if I was speaking to someone today, I would bring in the uncertainty of the times with the wars in Iran and Ukraine and the impending financial crisis, because that's what they're seeing all around them. Once they'd caught the bait and shared their fears in it all, I would then tell them of God's love for them and that God is the one person that we can be certain of and he won't ever leave us or let us down. Here's some examples of creating a gospel conversation within certain personality types. So, apologetics. For this, you really need to know your scriptures and have a direct or intellectual style of evangelism. You say it as it is and enjoy a debate. You take no prisoners. You think on your feet and bolden your stance for Christ. Any other evangelistic style will very quickly become unstuck if they try this approach. Door-to-door street evangelism in a conversation. This type generally needs a direct evangelist, but it's good to have an invitational or an interpersonal evangelist too, as they are relational in how they converse, which enhances and can soften the direct approach. However, relational styles may struggle with the directness that comes in door-to-door evangelism. Street evangelism can also be an apologetic style and works well with an intellectual and invitational style, ministering alongside each other. With the intellectual's assured authority of God's word and the invitational's exuberance and persuasiveness of sharing the gospel, they work well together. So, however, street evangelism comes in many other forms, preaching the gospel in open air. Creative evangelism, which involves visual gospel demonstrations through storyboards, skits, or worship. This is hard to do as an individual and works alongside a street event with other styles involved. Healing evangelism. This generally starts with the offer of prayer and is then followed by gospel conversation. This style is particularly suited to testimonial, interpersonal, and invitational styles, because you know they're very relational in how they approach people. Giving out tracts can involve limited conversation, but it's a bit of a scattergun approach. But for some, it's the right thing to do. Remember, if we are true to how God has created us and who he has called us to be, he will use whatever our style is. Every style has its place and is important. No style is better than any other. So a one-to-one creative style, this style would usually go with someone who is interpersonal, testimonial, invitational, or a service style of evangelistic conversation. As an individual, having a gospel conversation in a creative style opens up many ways to show God's love in a resourceful way. There are many examples online, and I'm happy to chat with you after this session. But one simple way to reinforce God's word is to use your hand. So let me show you. So Joshua 1, verse 5, God will never leave you. If they go away remembering that, if they're struggling, going through a difficult time, they can remember Joshua 1, verse 5, God will never leave me. It's simple. So creative ways of sharing the message will often help people remember the gospel conversation through the illustration. Sorry, guys. So one-to-one service type. This style can be an overflow of direct evangelism as well as a style within itself. From door-to-door ministry, street evangelism, or just a chat, a direct evangelist will see a need and step into it. As they serve, they continue sharing about the Lord, quoting scriptures to confirm what they are saying to assure the person of the validity of God's word. Whereas someone who has a service style of evangelism will quote little scripture. They serve, sharing the love of Jesus and gospel message, pouring out as much of Jesus as they can as they use their service to show love. In a service style of an evangelistic conversation, they will recognise a need and step into it, using the conversation around the need to share the gospel. For example, if the person has been let down by a builder, the service star will feel their pain and enter into their need, trying to think of as many trustworthy builders as they can that could help. It's probably here that they will share the love of Jesus and how he feels their plight, using that situation to share the gospel. The service style can also overlap of all evangelistic giftings, just as there is an element of relationship building and testimony sharing in all evangelistic styles too. So the one-to-one testimony style tends to be a storytelling style. So someone who's good at crafting a story will probably lean into this style as they find their common ground. They will remember stories of what God has done in their lives, and they'll share them in the appropriate places, emphasising the goodness and miraculous ways of God, with an expectation of wooing the recipient into a deeper interest into the reality of the gospel message. The one-to-one interpersonal style. This style involves building a rapport. An interpersonal style is relational, and those using it will chat with ease. This style builds friendship and quickly, which is great for the gospel conversation. Relational evangelism style can overlap into friendship evangelism. The relational style can be used by all evangelist types once a rapport has been built. So one-to-one invitational style, this style comes into its own through outreach events due to their enthusiasm and persuasive qualities. People using this style will generally be upbeat and optimistic, expecting people to accept their invitation. They can make an event feel exciting and inviting. Their enthusiasm is infectious and helps with any gospel conversation. The invitational style can overlap with the relational style too. These are just a few. There's so many more examples, but I didn't want to go on forever. So these are just a few to encourage you to dig deep and see how your natural character fits within your evangelism style. Please don't ever feel how you naturally converse will be a stumbling block and try and emulate others. God has created your style and he will use it. He knows who he is sending your way, and the Holy Spirit will direct and guide you through the conversation. Don't put any pressure on yourself of getting the person saved. That's the Holy Spirit's job. You have no idea where that person is on their journey to faith. Whilst there are miraculous conversions, most people have multiple gospel interactions before they accept Jesus as their saviour. Lastly, where we hold our evangelistic conversations is also important. Try and gauge how the person you are speaking to feels. Are they happy to talk, or do they want to get away? Are they preoccupied with something or someone else and just bearing with you? Is your conversation threatening to them? Never let the conversation become confrontational or combative. We never want to argue over the gospel. If the only way that they can get out of the conversation with you is to leave the queue or their seat, you have put them in a difficult situation that will affect how they view others that try and share Jesus with them. Remember, you are a representative of Jesus. If they come away feeling naturally frustrated, talked at, unheard, or aggressively evangelized, what is their view of Jesus? Surely a negative experience will have a negative effect. We don't want to put people off seeking Jesus by how we've shared him. If we seek the Holy Spirit's help right from the beginning and throughout the gospel conversation, he will lead, guide, and speak through us, which will stop any of the above happening. Remember, God has created you with the personality that he has, and he will use it for his glory if you let him.
Okay. Thank you very much,
Jackie. It's okay.
Could we pop that table up on the screen, please? Thanks. That's brilliant. Lovely. Wonderful, Jackie. Thank you so much for sharing that. And I'm so thankful for how the Lord has gifted you in this way. When we do these tag team things, I always think, oh, Jackie's the one that's actually a gifted evangelist, and I'm kind of the one that's like just trying a bit. But I really benefit from learning from you. So thank you very much for that. We're going to have the opportunity to talk in our groups now. We've got very big groups, so let's narrow them down a little bit. Chat in fours or fives, and have a look at the table there. Do you relate most to kind of apologetics, interpersonal, testimonial, invitational, or service? And look at these two questions. Which style resonates most with how God has made you and why? You don't have to fit in just one box, but which one do you resonate with most? And can you think of a recent conversation where you could have used that style to point someone towards Jesus? Let's take a few minutes just to discuss that in fours and fives. Okay. Evangelism styles. Do you continue those conversations afterwards over tea and coffee later? We're going to talk about follow-up. And I want to introduce you to someone called Alice. Alice is in her mid-30s. She's got a good job, she's got good friends, she's got a busy life, but there's something underneath it all that she can't quite name. There's a restlessness, a sense that there's just something else that she's missing. A friend from work, thankfully, invites her to a church event. She almost says no because church isn't really her thing, but something inside her makes her say yes. She comes to the event and she's surprised. The people around her are warm. Someone takes the time to chat with her. And during the evening, she hears something about Jesus which was completely different from the idea she had built up in her mind about churchy stuff like that. It wasn't religion, it wasn't rules. It was something that sounded like the answer to the restlessness that she'd been carrying around with her for so long. And after the event, she's driving home, she's thinking about it. She gets home, she even Googles something about something that came up. But nobody follows up with Alice. It's not because anyone meant to leave her behind. Everyone had good intentions. Everyone was really excited for her to be there. But no one got in touch. I guess everyone thought that someone else would do that instead. Life was busy and the moment passed. Slowly, not dramatically, without kind of a moment of decision, the ember in Alice just goes cold. Work fills back in, the worries, the cares of life, they choke out that initial spark of interest, that seed. But what if someone had sent a message the next day? What if someone had made an arrangement to meet up for coffee with Alice? What if someone had just kept showing up? That's what we're talking about. We've been looking at 2 Corinthians over the past few months, and there was something in chapter 13 that struck me that I'd never noticed in 2 Corinthians before. Paul saying to them that he's going to visit them a third time. Think about that. That is a church that caused Paul personal harm. They'd questioned whether he was a real apostle. They doubted his sincerity. They really didn't think he was up to much compared to other much more impressive people. And yet, he planned to go back for a third visit. Not that it would be easy, but because he loved them. And because the God he served wasn't finished with them. If Paul went back after all that, how much more can we just send a text message? Just have a slightly awkward conversation. Here's what I often think happens in our experience. The conversation goes well. We're really excited about that. The event goes well. Lots of people came. We're really excited about that. But we aren't necessarily thinking about the next step. It's not intentional neglect. It's just that it's not on the forefront of our mind what next. And life just gets in the way. When we're talking about follow-up, I'm not talking about a sales technique or anything like that. This is just being a faithful friend. And I think here are three important things that any one of us can do, and they're written down on your sheets. These are not world-changing ideas. You already know this. This is more about bringing it to the forefront of our minds. Number one, keep showing up. The most powerful thing you can do after a gospel conversation or after a gospel event is keep being their friend. Don't let the conversation make things awkward. You can just be normal. You can still be in their life. You can ask the same old questions about the kids, their job, the thing they mentioned last time. The relationship is the follow-up. It's really, really important. Paul, with those Corinthians, he didn't write a strategy document. He just kept showing up. And we can do the same. So one, keep showing up. Two, leave something behind. Sometimes the best follow-up isn't another conversation. It's something that continues the conversation for you. How easy is that? That's wonderful, isn't it? A book that you lend them, or a podcast that you mention, or a song that you really like. That's actually really low pressure, and it takes a lot off you. I could suggest a few things, but actually I don't know if that's the best thing to do. I think the best thing is for you guys to think about, oh, what's a podcast that I've been listening to that says something about Jesus? What's a book that I personally have been reading that I could recommend to someone? You don't want to give my recommendations because you're not me. Like Jackie was saying, be passionate about Jesus and you'll know what to recommend for them. So leave something behind. And lastly, invite them in. The next step very often is just inviting them to come a bit closer. That might be an invitation to a Sunday service. Sundays are for church, but they are the best advert for the gospel. People coming in, seeing what a gospel-shaped community is like, is such a powerful witness. It might be suggesting that you read a book of the Bible together, one-to-one, maybe Philippians, maybe something like that. No preparation, no real plan, just read the Bible. Be normal. Talk. We can do that. It might be a social with some church people. Invite a few of your Christian friends around for dinner. Invite your new non-Christian friend as well. We are weird, but hopefully in a good way sometimes. The goal isn't to get the sale. The goal isn't to make another pitch. The goal is just to keep being there. Just one more step. Paul's persistence with the Corinthians wasn't stubbornness. It was grace. He kept going back because he worships a God who keeps coming back for us. That's the motivation that's going to sustain us. Not duty, not technique, but gratitude for Jesus, the wonderful good shepherd who kept on pursuing us when each of us, every one of us, was lost. As one example, think about the last person who was baptized here on Easter Sunday, Kelly. If you were here for that, her testimony was wonderful, wasn't it? It was beautiful. She mentioned person after person, conversation after conversation, that all led over the course of years to her becoming a Christian and reaching that moment. What great motivation for us. Just keep going. Keep following up. Keep showing up. Leave something behind. Invite them in. It is so, so worth it. I wonder what God could do if we just kept hold of this piece of paper, kept hold of those three bits of advice for follow-up when God brings new people in on a Sunday morning. What could God do with that? Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for the gospel opportunities that you do give us. Father, we pray that, yes, we would rejoice in those opportunities, but more than that, we would think about the next conversation, the next opportunity. Please remind us Help us to call these things to mind, just to keep showing up, to leave something behind, and to invite people in. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to have one final opportunity to respond in our groups. Once again, go into those fours and fives, and we're going to take, let's say, 4 minutes, 4 or 5 minutes, to discuss just one question. What's the main thing that gets in the way of your follow-up? Is it fear of being pushy? Is it life getting busy? Or is it something else? And after 5 minutes, so when we get to kind of quarter past-ish, what I'd like you to do is to pray together. Bring those obstacles to God in prayer, and as you're praying, maybe name one person that God has put on your heart, and we'll spend kind of 5, let's say 10 minutes praying together. One question in 5 minutes, 10 minutes of praying together.